Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Bites for Kids from the National Writing for Children Center at www.writingforchildrencenter.com. This is your host, Suzanne Lorenz, and today I'm going to be joined by Kate Buckley, who is the author of a new book called Choices. Hi, Kate. How are you?
Hi, Suzanne.
Now, you are calling in from Santa Fe?
Santa Fe, New Mexico, yes.
Yeah,
I have
you told me
a cold today, so I hope.
Yeah, you've been kind of under the weather a little bit, laryngitis, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has got something going this time of year.
A lot
it's just hard
on.
To. Yeah, hard to stay healthy, but I appreciate you being with us today. Now, before
mm-hmm.
we get into talking about your book, Choices, which is a book for teens,
mm-hmm.
a novel, which, you know, it's fun reading, but it's about a pretty serious subject. But before we get into that, I'd like you to tell people a little bit about your background as a writer, because, boy, you have an interesting background. Before you got to writing for children, not only the writing you've done, but other things. So tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
Well, I've always written, you know, even in third and fourth grade, I was writing and making up characters and stories. So I think that's always been in my nature. And then I was a very popular babysitter in my neighborhood, very much on demand. I used to read to children and sat for and made up stories for them, too, and always had an active imagination and inner life as a young girl, and I was an avid reader. Always had my nose in a book. And then I was a journalist for my school newspaper in high school, and then an English major in college. And after living in New York for a few years, where I worked in radio at NBC, doing radio time sales and copywriting, I moved to L.A. and was working in the film business. And though I began work as a set decorator and a photographer's assistant, somehow that evolved into working on screenplays and teleplays. So there came the storytelling theme again.
That must have been fun, though.
It was very exciting and fun, you know, working with stories and film and television.
Mm-hmm. And then I read somewhere, I don't know if I read it on your website or where I read it, but this story, Choices, was a story that you actually, it was sort of, you got a call or something with a parent who had a problem with her daughter. Her daughter was pregnant or something. And
no, it was actually an article in the L.A. Times.
Oh, okay. An article in the L.A. Times gave you this idea that you wanted
mm-hmm.
to turn it into a screenplay or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But
I got the idea from an article that I read in the L.A. Times. It was not in the front page or anything, about a mother
mm-hmm.
bringing her pregnant 15-year-old daughter to a woman's health clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got there, the doctor said, "Didn't I see you in that picket line last week? Is there always protesters out in front of this clinic?" And she said, "This
mm-hmm.
is different. This is my daughter."
Ooh.
And she was back in that picket line after getting an abortion for her daughter, you know, a week later.
Oh, wow.
So I wrote a
picketing against abortion, you mean?
Yeah, she was against it.
Oh, wow.
Not in the case of her daughter. And this is apparently very common. So I wrote a treatment for a TV movie, which was called
mm-hmm.
Choices, about a pro-life mother whose daughter gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And though every production house I brought it to at the time loved it,
mm-hmm.
none of them would make it into a movie. There was
wow.
too much shame and stigma attached to the abortion issue then through people like
mm-hmm.
Reverend Jerry Falwell and Operation Rescue and the like. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, sadly, it continues today, even though one in three women in the U.S. will have an abortion before reaching the age of 45.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so many women are silenced by the stigma and the shame, you know, that's put out there by the culture
mm-hmm.
and made to
so,
feel guilty. And Kara experiences all of this. Many of the scenes in the book take place in Kara's head and explore these feelings.
Right, right. As in the
so,
case, though, of this...
Anyway,
well, as in the case of that mother, because we can tie this in the book in a minute, but that mother in the newspaper who was out picketing, against abortion, but then she wanted her daughter to have an abortion.
Right.
Why is it you think people, I mean, is it really a case of they want to control what other people do, or is it just that, like you said, the shame and guilt, and they're sort of shamed and guilted into, okay, you need to be picketing against this, and as long as nobody knows my daughter's had the abortion, then it's okay. If I'm out there acting like I'm against it, then I'm safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, a lot of it is comes from religious culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
that really is against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, Operation Rescue and those kinds of things are run by men
mm-hmm.
who will never be pregnant.
Right.
So I think it's, you know, all I'm talking about in my book is about beliefs and what can happen when something makes them personal.
Right.
You know, you can go your whole life believing abortion is wrong and bad, but then when it's your daughter, you may have
mm-hmm.
to rethink those beliefs.
Right.
So I'm asking people when they read the book to maybe not judge other people's choices from the outside of an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even impose your own values on
your
other
own
people.
Your own values on someone else. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, just
mm-hmm.
let everyone be. You know,
right.
it's a difficult enough decision to make without
mm-hmm.
adding all the stigma and guilt and shame on top of it.
Right.
No woman has an easy time making this decision.
Mhm. Mhm. Oh yeah, most definitely.
I mean,
especially
you know,
if it's
no
a young girl.
Get, you know, an unwanted pregnancy. So many, you know, times
mm-hmm.
birth control fails. There's so many different things that happen.
Mhm. Mhm.
And women
so tell
the
people the story. Tell people
the
story then in Choices, if they're not familiar with the book yet, so they'll know what the
okay.
story is about.
Well, the story is about a very sheltered 15-year-old Catholic girl who goes to an all-girls school. Her name is Kara McNeil. She's from in a very controlling home, and she hardly ever gets to go out except, as she says, to dumb sleepover parties at her girlfriend's home. So she doesn't feel she can even choose her own clothes. She goes to an all-girls
mm-hmm.
Catholic school, wears uniforms, and there's a real prison-like feel for her about her life. You know, Kara
mm-hmm.
wants to grow up and explore, but she really can't. So then she meets Jake, a star basketball player from a public school, who takes her number, and she starts sneaking out her bedroom window at night to party with him. And she is so innocent and completely inexperienced, it makes her very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so binge drinking, a date rape, and teen pregnancy comes out of this whole risk-taking venture. And her whole family is catapulted into a crisis situation they never expected in a million years when she's forced to reveal that she's pregnant to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And her
mm-hmm.
mother is pro-life and working for a pro-life candidate, very much against abortion, comprehensive sex ed, access to birth control for teens. You know, she's out there canvassing for this pro-life candidate. So things do get resolved after a lot of heartache and unnecessarily agonizing kind of growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to too many teen girls these days.
Right.
And Kara does wind up okay in the end, and my middle school readers say they learn a lot from the book, and I hope that they will think twice before taking some of the kinds of risks that Kara does in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And older readers, who many of whom have already been on the party scene, find it very healing and empowering.
Right, yeah. As I told you before the show started, I just started reading the book. Now, I've already... let's see where I'm in the chapter. You don't have the chapter's number, but I'm just starting the one that says now what, where she's just thought to go to the store to get a pregnancy test.
A lot of girls deny when they miss their period. You know, they
mm-hmm.
wait a while. They just don't want to believe it. But yes, yeah,
well,
got that
especially
point.
When they're so young, you know, it's almost like I don't know. It would almost seem like that would be magic or something. Even if you know you've had a sexual experience, it's just like that can't be
well,
it. You know,
and we've had so much abstinence-only education in the schools for the last decade that you know a lot of kids really, unless they've gotten information from their parents, They really don't have it.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, there's a whole show on television now where these women give birth and they didn't even know they were pregnant, you know, which seems kind of odd, but I guess that happens too. Can you still hear me? Whoops, did I lose her? Hello? Well, I don't know what's going on here, guys. I'm still on the switchboard, I think. I hope I'm still on here. Whoops, I guess she got knocked off. We'll see if Kate can get back on here with me. Today I'm talking with Kate Buckley about her young adult novel called Choices, which is all about a young girl who, her name is Kara, and she's kind of caught up in the party scene and a new guy that she meets, and just the book just talks about all the things that happen there and how she ultimately gets pregnant and what the choices are that have to be made. Gosh, I hope Kate's going to be able to get back on with me. She just kind of died off the vine here sometimes, you know. That's the thing about doing radio via the telephone sometimes is people get cut off and then they can't get back on for whatever reason. So I'm hoping she'll be able to get back on here in a minute. In the meantime, if I have any callers who've read this book, Choices by Kate Buckley, if you'd want to call in and tell us about it, or maybe you have a question for Kate or a comment that you'd like to make, the number to call is 646-716-9239. 646-716-9239. And just let me give you Kate's website address, too, because there is another Kate Buckley I've noticed who's a poet, but this Kate Buckley writes for teens, and you'll see her website is at katebuckleybooks.com. So you can go there to find
Hello.
Out. Hello.
Hello.
I got you back. Hello. Hey,
Kate. I know what happened. Yes.
Yeah, that was really weird. I guess you just got thrown off for some reason or
well,
we couldn't hear you. It looked like you were still on the line, but you couldn't hear me.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that happens again, do like you did this time. Just hang up immediately and call back for some reason.
Well, I tried to do that. I tried to do that, but now I have you on my cell phone. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Yeah, just really, really weird. Well, I just let people know your website, which is katebuckleybooks.com, and they can go there and learn more about the book, more about you and your background. And you do a lot of work with young girls, right? Or have in the past.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I am still working in the middle schools, and I'm doing writing workshops with eighth graders that are sponsored by Penn out of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And they get an anthology of their work at the end of the workshop that's published by Penn.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have a book in their hands with their writing and their names. And I really enjoy working with this age group because it's an important transitional period when they're moving towards high school and getting to know who they are. And I like giving them more space to give a voice to that feeling that they're having,
wonderful.
That they're going through.
How did you get involved with that?
I'm a member of Penn, and I'm a member of the Writers Guild of America. And I was actually the first. This program is called Pen in the Classroom, and I was the first to bring that to Santa Fe or to New Mexico, actually, the program. It's done in Los Angeles in high schools, but the first program in a middle school.
Oh.
And I've got three sessions. I'm doing my third session right now, and I have two other people working in the middle schools doing Pen in the Classroom as well now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to get it going in New Mexico and Albuquerque, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit more in terms of the book, Choices. What was the writing day like?
I don't know where I was.
Well, I was just going to, I had told, mentioned that, you know, where I was in the book about her going to take the pregnancy test. And we were talking about that, how many times, you know, young girls deny the fact that they're pregnant. And I said, I think I said this and you probably didn't hear me, about how there's even a TV show about women who give birth who didn't know they were pregnant. Many times young girls in dorm rooms,
yes.
you know, different places because
yes.
they just don't know what's going on, you know.
I know, and I think that kind of show, I wish there was another one that
mm-hmm.
gave the information on how they could find out, or, you know,
right.
movies like Juno or The Pregnancy Pact just show one side of the issue. I find that a lot. It's almost becoming kind of a popular thing for girls to get pregnant. And we just found out yesterday that New Mexico is the number one teen pregnancy rate in the U.S.
Really? New Mexico? Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Well,
education at all? Okay.
You know, it's per capita, but I do think that, you know, girls just don't have the information they need. They're getting sexually active way too young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're seeing the results of it. And this abstinence-only education, I think, is leaving
mm-hmm.
a lot of kids in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's my hope to get my book into some comprehensive sex ed programs when we get them going.
Mm-hmm.
Because
now,
it really does bring up discussion.
When this book came about, because you'd written this treatment for say, a TV show or TV movie that didn't get made because the networks determined it was too controversial at the time, then how long did it take you to turn it into a book? And what was the process like of doing that?
Well, as I was saying before, you know, I had that idea after I'd written that idea and read that article in my head for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could really see the girl at that point. And then I was working in the schools here and seeing so much happening to young girls around drugs and binge drinking, sexual assault at parties and, you know, getting sexually active as young as
mm-hmm.
12 and 13 because of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I could really see the girl and all these current day issues swirling around her, so I decided to write it as a young adult novel. And really, it almost wrote itself. In 5 months, I had a first draft.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, hang on for a minute. I'm going to take a short little break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Towards Understanding is a collection of 120 poems by Lillian Brummett. A true story of a young preteen female growing up on her own, struggling to survive, breaking the chains of inner demons, and finally growing towards understanding of her value and purpose in life. See the book at www.brummett.ca. That's Towards Understanding by Lillian Brummett. BRUMMET.ca. Authors Read is a 15-minute radio program featuring authors, storytellers, and poets reading from their published work. There's nothing like hearing a story told the way the writer intended it to be read, straight from the writer's lips. For more information and archived shows, go to www.brummett.ca. That's BRUMMET.ca.
We are back, and today I'm talking with Kate Buckley, who is the author of a young adult novel called Choices. So, Kate, tell us a little bit about your publisher, Book Publishers Network.
Yes. My publisher is Sharon Hara from Book Publishers Network, and they're in the Seattle
mm-hmm.
area. And they are small, but they pay a lot of attention to detail and really care about their authors. I have distribution with all the major wholesalers, Ingram and Baker and Taylor, and Quality
mm-hmm.
Books, which librarians often use. And there's also an ebook on smashwords.com and Barnes & Noble.
Mm.
So
how did you find them?
I belong to a group here called New Mexico Book Association, and I was at a party one summer and was talking about my book, and somebody told me, you really ought to call Sharon Hara, so and gave me your phone number. You know, it was kind of just very fortuitous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it when things like that work out. It's just like, you know, not only has the time come for your book, but it's sort of easy to do once it's its time has come, you know. Things start falling into place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was the most difficult part, though, of the process? Obviously, at the beginning, getting the story idea going and then trying to sell it as a treatment didn't work, so you kind of had to change gears there. But did you, and you said the book pretty much wrote itself, so did you have any problems after that?
Well, I mean, you know, there is still a lot of stigma around this issue. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have experienced that. I have gotten reviewed by Ms. Magazine and Kirkus, and a lot of, you know, I've gotten some very good reviews
mm-hmm.
when I have been able to get it to people. And, you know, in terms of marketing it, you know, I, like most writers, I have to do most of it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
so tell us a little bit about the marketing process. What kind of things do you do as an author to market the book?
Well, I've done book signings, and but for the most part, I'm not a huge fan of those. I think it's harder for
mm-hmm.
first-time authors to get a good turnout for a signing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done fundraisers, you know, for people like Planned Parenthood and Santa Fe Now, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I do get a pretty good turnover, or turnout, rather, of like-minded,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who want to know about this issue.
Right.
And I've done book shows, which I really enjoy, and from the Independence to Barnes & Noble, bookstore buyers are there, and you can get a lot of exposure that way. I
mm-hmm.
went to the Portland Book Show last September, and Book Publishers Network had a booth, and I did a signing, and I made so many contacts. It was just great walking the floor and talking to people.
I put up a trailer today at the National Writing for Children Center site of you talking at some book show or something you were at. You have a trailer on YouTube. And so if people want to look, if people want to go to that trailer and see you in your little booth there talking about your book,
uh-huh.
they can just go to the Writing for Children Center and see that trailer. I always like to pick up a trailer if I know the author I'm going to be speaking to, you know, that day has a trailer for the book. I didn't see one exactly for the book telling about it, so I just picked that one up and put it on our site. So
Was,
you know, fun to see. Well, the book's already won some awards. It won the 2009 Gold Mom's Choice Award, right?
2010, actually.
2010? Oh, okay.
It was announced. It was announced in December 2009. The press release.
Now, when did the book actually come out?
July of 2009.
Okay. Wow. All right. And so it is, if we go to your site at katebuckleybooks.com, we'll see that it is available at Barnes & Noble, Powell's Books, as an e-book, and Amazon.com. I want to remind people, too, that go to Kate Buckley Books, because isn't katebuckley.com, that's a poet or someone else, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's someone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's books
yeah.
with an S, and also I have a Facebook page, Kate Buckley Books with an S.
Okay,
and I have
great.
A Twitter. I have a Twitter, but I just got on Twitter, and
uh-huh.
that's K8 Buckley Books, you know, with the number 8.
Okay. Well, I tweeted about you being on the show today, so I'm hoping people are listening for my tweets that I did.
Oh, good. Well, I'll have to follow you.
Yeah, you will. I'm on there for Book Bites for Kids. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You know, of course, I'm on Amazon and in many libraries across the nation, too. I've really
mm-hmm.
made an effort to get into libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm in as many, I think, 18 different libraries in the Philadelphia area.
Wow.
And the book is being checked out a lot. And it's
mm-hmm.
been used at, in Idaho and other states, you know, just counselors that I've met, school counselors who've tried using it with support groups for girls.
Mm-hmm.
Very successfully. So,
well, and there's a reader's guide in the back of the book, too, we should tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere I read there were questions or something, but I don't see the questions. Are those somewhere else? Are there questions?
No, at the very back, it's just called Reader's Guide. And those
okay, the Reader's Guide. Oh, I see. Okay, the questions are within the paragraphs and things. Okay, so that's
uh-huh.
great. I was going to ask you a little bit about... when you were creating the characters here, like when I was reading the first part of the book, and Kate's describing her parents, and she seems a little bit kinder in her descriptions of her mother. Her mother seems, you know, a little bit nicer to her, whereas her father, you do get the feeling he's kind of the jailer and things. And do you think that's, did you mean that to be really representative of the way the guy really is, or is that the, just the way she interprets him? Because I think that's a good talking point with kids sometimes, is they do see their parents as the jailers, where their parents are trying to protect them from the world. And although, to me, her dad did sort of put unreal expectations, like she was, what, 15 and her curfew was 10 o'clock on the weekend. And, I mean, and then she wasn't even yet. Yeah, when she gets 17. Right, when she's 17, it's going to be 10:30. So, wow, you know. And she lives around the Denver area, and she said nothing happens until 10 o'clock around here. So what kind of social life am I going to be able to have in 30 minutes between 10 and 10:30 before I have to go home, you know? So is that, was that, you know, meant to represent the dad truly as he is, or do you think sometimes kids just see their parents as these jailers?
Well, I think, you know, there are family secrets involved as to why these parents are as protective as they are. And all of this gets revealed. You haven't gotten to that part yet. You know, her pregnancy brings out the crisis, and then she finds out things about her parents she didn't know. And actually, the crisis brings the family together in ways that you wouldn't think from the beginning of the story.
Okay, I was kind of thinking
that. She doesn't really have a clear picture.
Yeah, I was thinking you were using the father to foreshadow some things, so I was right. So that's good.
He actually becomes the hero.
Really? Oh, great, great. Yeah, yeah. And,
my son
really
liked that part about the book. The dad was his favorite character.
Well, something else I think that, you know, the book brings out is the way you know, kids feel and stuff, and yet when Kate, I keep wanting to say Kate, that's you, but when Kara.
Yes, Kara.
Yeah, Kara was sneaking off with this boy that she just met, she still, you know, wanted to retain the values. Like she and a best friend whose father had been killed by a drunken driver had made this little pact together that they were not going to drink alcohol. And she wanted to stick to that. You know, she really did. But then the peer pressure got to be too much. And that's when she, you know, started drinking. And then, you know, they way things happen at parties and stuff, you know, before you know it, people are egging you on to do more and more, and Jello shots are easy to do, and they seem harmless. It doesn't seem like liquor. It seems like, you know, a piece of Jello or something, or taste like that.
Yes.
And so she starts doing that. So, you know, I think that was real representative of the way kids do get into things. Just, I mean, how a situation can change in a matter of minutes, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, sometimes I've seen situations where girls have been so embarrassed by what happened to them at a party that they've had to leave their school. You know, they just don't want to go to school anymore and face
people. I can imagine. Yeah, because you realize you were someone you really aren't at that moment, at that party. Yeah,
and you've blacked out, or, you know, people have taken advantage of you and you don't know. You know, I mean, alcohol is still the most prevalent date rape drug. I mean, it really, much more so than the ones they worry about, like roofies and things.
Right, alcohol itself. Yeah. Gosh, we've only got a minute left. This has been really fascinating talking to you today about the book.
Yeah, we got cut off for a little bit.
That's okay. I want to remind people to go to katebuckleybooks.com to find out about your book choices and more about you. But we've got about 40 seconds left, so if you could just tell us before I let you go today, what is your best tip for aspiring children's book authors?
Read a lot of the genre that you want to write about and really get familiar with it, and be passionate about your story that you're telling and what you want to communicate to your readers. And, of course, have a work schedule and spend a lot of time writing. I guess that would be my
I don't think it hurts to hang out with the age you want to write for, too, you know, because I could
exactly.
see that
and, you know,
your writing had the voice of the age you were writing for
yes.
here, you know, so you've been around teenage girls a lot, and that was kind of evident the way you wrote. Yeah, that's
and
great.
Boys as well, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And,
yeah.
and that's great if you can do it, too.
Right, yeah, well, perfect. Okay, well, thanks so much for being with us today, and best of luck with the book. We'll just be, you know, seeing how it goes. And like I said, we'll be reviewing the book for the National Writing for Children Center, and that review will be up probably next week sometime. So we'll let you know when that happens. So take care. Hope you start feeling better, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks so much, Suzanne.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.